In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us again for the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor, senior citizens pastor at Brookside. It's always a joy to be able to just set aside some time and open up the Word of God wherever you are. I hope maybe you can do that. If you can't, you may be at work or in your car, then join your heart with us as we focus our attention on what God's Word says is going to be happening concerning this wicked world. Now, we all have to agree, yeah, Pastor Greg, it is really getting bad. And the more we talk, the more shocked we are. And we say, well, look at this and look at that. And this is falling apart and this is now accepted. And people laugh at this instead of cry about it. But, you know, basically, Psalm chapter 2 prophesies that this is exactly what the world is going to be like. Exactly what the world is going to be like. Wickedness. Just a effort to get rid of God, to get rid of any spiritual influence at all. Quite a few years ago, I was involved in the American Association of Christian Schools as the president of the Georgia Association of Christian Schools. And once a year, we would have a legislative conference in Washington, D.C., and have the opportunity to just kind of be brought up to date with what's going on the federal level. And we had an opportunity to listen to a speaker who was the assistant for the Senate Majority Leader, Senator Bill Frist. And he made an amazing statement concerning the power of influence in our country. He basically said, what the United States Congress and Senate do on a daily basis, and what the pastors and Christian school teachers do on a daily basis, has little effect upon the direction and fiber of the American culture. Well, man, he was talking to Christian educators and pastors, and that was really like a slap in the face. What we do on a daily basis has little effect on the direction and the fiber of our culture. He went on to say it is far more influenced by what our country is enjoying on our TV all-star shows. You know, and the programs can change over the years, but that's not the issue. It's still the same influence. Now, when we look at Psalm chapter 2, we realize that there are basically four speakers, four people speaking to us, or individuals speaking to us. The first one is the psalmist David. In the first three verses, God told him that his son and the Lord would one day sit on his throne and rule Israel and the entire world. But David didn't see it. In fact, he saw the exact opposite. He saw the nations of the world uniting to rebel against God. So the first three verses, David talks about, Lord, how could this happen? How could all this turn out well? Because our world is totally against God. Then, in verses 4-6, God the Father speaks. And so he answered his question with a peal of laughter. Basically, when the people of the world united against God's Son at His first coming, all of heaven wept. But when they unite against Him at His second coming, they will all laugh. Then thirdly, God the Son, Lord Jesus Christ, speaks in verses 7-9. And He assures David that He indeed will rule and reign. And then lastly, in verses 10-12, God the Holy Spirit speaks. And He upholds the sovereign claims of God and warns the nations to repent before it's too late. And that is our message as a church. That is our message as Christians. That those around us should recognize that God is aware. God knows what's going on. God knows what people are thinking and saying and doing. And repentance is definitely needed. Now, the first three verses. David speaks. And he's talking about God's guilty creatures. And basically, he says in verse number 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, that's God the Father, and against his anointed, that's his Son, saying, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. So we see the formality of the world's rebellion. In that first verse, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The word imagine is the exact same word that we saw in the previous chapter, Psalm chapter 1, and it's called meditate. Meditate. It says in verse number 2, the godly man meditates in God's law day and night. In other words, premeditation on God's law in verse 2 of chapter 1 brings about righteousness. But in chapter 2, David says, the people of this earth are basically premeditating on ways to get rid of God. All you have to do is read Romans chapter 1 to realize that God has said that's exactly what's going to happen. It's a premeditated crime. In fact, it says in verse number 2, the kings of the earth set themselves. Now, that word set means to take one stand. So, in essence, it is a united effort to stand against God. Basically, their attitude is, we've had enough of religion that demands an account be given to God. So, we just want to ignore God. We want to pretend like there is no God. And that's why there is such a strong stand against Judaism and Christians, for they both teach this truth that one day an account will be given to God. You know, we can see why the militant Muslims have determined to use whatever force necessary against Christians and Jews in world domination, because God said it would happen. He goes on to say they take counsel together. In other words, they are gathered by appointment, is what the Hebrew is meaning. It's not an accidental thing that the rebellion of the world is focused on getting rid of God, getting rid of his word, getting rid of Christian influence, getting rid of anything that smacks of God. Now, the force of their rebellion can be seen in that second verse. The conspirators are the nations, the people, the kings, the rulers. In other words, it's a grassroots rebellion and up. Everybody's involved. See, the world is of one mind about one thing. They may differ in their opinions about politics, economic, social systems, but they agree on one thing. Let's get rid of God. Let's get rid of God. And so consequently, it is a widespread effort. And that's why when we look at our media in so many different areas, let's get rid of God. Let's get rid of the Ten Commandments. Let's get rid of anything that teaches morality. Because let's let people do whatever they want to do. It's the force of their rebellion as described in the second verse. They take their stand against God and against his anointed. That's the Lord. Now, so consequently, we see then that the focus of their rebellion is against the person of God. The person of God. Now, it's been said that 26% of the population of the United States is consisted of evangelical Christians. So consequently, you can begin to understand why there is such a divided nature in our government, a divided nature in our society. You've got 26% evangelical Christians, and then you've got others that are not called evangelical Christians. Then you've got so many that basically say, we don't believe anything. And so consequently, we have a divided nation. And both the Old Testament and the New Testament reveal the plan of Satan, and obviously Satan's very unhappy because his plan has been revealed. But it's a rebellion against the teachings of God. And we saw that in verse number 3. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. They're talking about God's too restrictive. He's got bands and he's got cords and he's trying to tell us what we can't do. It's a rebellion against the precepts of God, the teachings of the Word of God, the moral and ethical teachings of the Bible. That's why when you try to take a stand in those areas, they will say, well, you can't legislate morality. No, but they sure are legislating immorality. So why can't you legislate moral actions and responses? See, it's a total rejection of biblical teachings of accountability for immorality, accountability for homosexuality, respect for parents, or everybody in authority. It's a total rejection of biblical teachings about sin and salvation and judgment to come. And so as a result of that, our country is in a horrible mess. But God said that that would be true of the last days. Now, sad to say, when our President of the United States finishes his State of the Union address, his last words are, "And God bless America." But I'm very sad to say, God can't. Because of the tremendous rebellion against God and against His Word and against His Son. And so consequently, we see why our country is in the mess that it's in. Then in verses 4 through 6, God the Father speaks. And He speaks in derision. In fact, He says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yea, have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." That's God the Father speaking. He's basically saying, you know, men are such fools. How can they think they can rebel and win against an almighty God? It's like a group of ants thinking that they can win against a human being who's standing above them on the sidewalk. There's no way in the world they can win against a human being. But God says that He is sitting in the heavens. Now, the word "sitteth" in verse 4 is an active participle, and it means we are speaking of something that is a continual action. So He's sitting on the throne. He has been sitting on the throne. He will always be sitting on the throne. In other words, it's a continuous action. He's never going to be enthroned. That's why God laughs. Because the people of the world are trying to enthrone Him. That's what Satan tried to do back in the early days of the creation. But God speaks in His displeasure. And it says in verse number 5 that He speaks to Him in His wrath and His sore displeasure. See, God is not just a quiet grandpa in the heavens who looks down and says, "Oh my, I'm so sad. I wish you wouldn't do that." No. We're talking about a God who is active. We're talking about a God who is righteous. And we're talking about a God who is going to be bringing judgment. And as God speaks, He shows His displeasure. We are coming to the end of our time. But next time we get together, we're going to see that He doesn't just speak. We're going to see that God takes action. And that's why it's so vitally important that if you are living a life of rebellion against God, recognize that God is not a Santa Claus grandpa in heaven who winks at your rebellion and your sin. God watches. God knows. And one day, God is going to hold you in account. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.